This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noel Lim. 7.06 a.m., Friday the 17th of July. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Izana Azuddin, founder of the MYER movement, on Malaysia's millennials and Gen Z's outlook for the future. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
It was a red day yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. It was red. Actually, I lied. I'm going to say more. The KLCI was down 0.8%. STI was down just under 1%. Hong Kong was down 2%. Shanghai was down 4.5%. Yesterday, year-to-date, it was almost it was around the 10% level. Year-to-date right now, China is only 5% up. The only one in the green at this point in Asia. Japan was down almost just under 4%, 3.75%. Japan was down 0.76%. Korea was down 0.8%. And Australia was down 0.7%. The US closed a few hours ago also in the red. S&P 500 down 0.3%. Dow Jones down 0.5%. And the NASDAQ down 0.7%. I think a lot to do with some of the tech shares selling off as well.
So this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Tim. Now, last night, US markets pulled back, especially the NASDAQ, on the back of poor guidance from Netflix, weak jobs data. So do you think investors will shrug this off and continue to take a risk-on approach, or will markets correct further?
Well, I would think they'd correct further, but, you know, it did close pretty well off the lows today. So there's still that buy the dip mentality. So, you know, despite the weakness in China, I mean, we recovered sharply off the lows. However, I still think the market's probably a sell against yesterday's highs. And, you know, I do believe that we are overdue for a correction, given how far these things have come.
Yeah, it seems like hot money has been chasing momentum. Would you be looking to take money off the table from tech stocks into cyclicals?
Absolutely. I think the rotation, again, this is something I've been saying, but you're at historic wide levels, growth over value. So I'm believing that cyclicals and some value stocks and even the financials, I still think to rebalance a portfolio, this is the time that I think that's what you're seeing. So there's a bullish undertone, but given the weighting the tech has in the major indexes, I think it's going to be a headwind for the indexes, and you could see the indexes going lower. So this is a stock picker market, and I think value is the game.
Tim, we've seen some bank earnings out of the U.S. in the last few days, including overnight. And the top six banks are collectively taking a $35 billion hit to their books, with all this in mind and the earnings that we've seen, are you a buyer of the financial sector?
You know, I am. I know these allowances are something, but, you know, this is really a income statement thing. The balance sheets are really good in some of these names here. And I think they're really cheap. I think it's a very low risk reward and actually a call option on a steeper curve and a recovering global economy. So, yes, I am. I have been. And I have added some more to the financials, namely some of the banks.
Do you have any particular names that you are favoring at this point?
Well, like I said, I could tell you Bank of America is one of my favorites that I have, because I think your total return can compound in there something like 8-9% a year when they resume their buybacks and with their dividend. And again, their balance sheet is good. And I think they're executing very well. So, you know, them, and obviously there's JP Morgan, Citi's one, Wells Fargo's one for the daring, you know, which I'm not. And, you know, Goldman Sachs actually has had pretty good report, and I think prospects are pretty good. So, yeah, I do like the financials, and I like the materials a lot as well.
And Tim, if we turn over to China's markets, yesterday the Shanghai Composite dropped 4.5%, the most since February after a rally since the middle of June. Is this reality checking in and investors perhaps saying too fast, too soon?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the bond, there's indications that they're going to kind of rein in monetary policy a little bit as well. But absolutely, you know, the market was really just exploded at such a rapid, fast pace, as have these tech stocks, some of these big names here. So, you know, anything that runs up that fast, a 10% correction, 20% correction, even from these levels, is not really a big deal.
Well, China's GDP for Q2 has rebounded, yet retail sales, consumer sentiment seem rather muted. So is China's recovery looking more like a V-shape, W-shape, or maybe still a U?
I think it's a W-type shape. you know, the one thing they have with all their debt, and what I think we're going to experience as well, it's going to take more and more debt to get an incrementally lower rate of GDP growth. China's been in that for a while. But, you know, again, I think it was one of those under-owned names. I think actually, I really think that Southeast Asia, and I think actually Malaysia is one of the hottest markets, I believe, that we've had. I think those are those markets, I think, have still a lot of potential for the future. So, and I think they'll also benefit from my view on materials as well.
Yes, indeed. The Malaysian market has been quite hot in recent days. But let's take a look at oil, Tim. OPEC Plus decided to taper production cuts to 7.7 million barrels a day from August. And has the market found an equilibrium here between demand and supply?
You know, it seems that way. And I think that's, you know, validated here by the recent move. And I think that oil prices will be supported. You know, and again, I'm kind of liking the downstream type players a little bit more in this as well. So I do think, to answer your question, yeah, I think we are stabilizing here at a level.
And Tim, gold has also been seeing some strong support at current prices. Given the weak US dollar as well as low treasury yields, do you see prices breaking past resistance levels next week?
You know, I really like gold. A problem is a lot of people, other people do as well, but I think gold has a lot higher to go. And when you look at the history of gold over the past 20 years, it's done as well, if not better, than stocks. So it's kind of interesting. That's on a pure return basis, not on a total return, obviously. But yeah, to answer your question, I think gold's a buy on any real weakness, and I think we have not seen the highs.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland of TJM Limited, giving us his thoughts on a variety of issues. He's very positive on gold, but also, you know, he mentioned a couple of banking U.S. banking names. So he likes the Bank of America because he thinks that your returns can be compounded. They've still got a pretty solid balance sheet. And because yesterday BOA did announce their second quarter earnings, they posted earnings of $3.5 billion, exceeding analyst estimates. And revenue came in at $22.5 billion, so just also beating analyst estimates of around $22 billion.
Yeah, so really, I think, he's mentioned some of these names, and I think, and also moving out cyclicals as well, because one, I think, can expect more volatility as we go in the next few months, and understandably, gold will see some support. But also looking at Morgan Stanley, also, I think they blew past analyst estimates, right? Revenue climbed 30% from a year ago to $13.4 billion.
Yeah, just going back to Bank of America for a second, I think the important thing to note is that earnings were driven by the bond trading revenue, which was about $3.2 billion. And that was up 50% from a year ago. Equities trading was also, revenue was also up 7% to about $1.2 billion. And that said, the bank also increased credit loss reserves by $4 billion. Everyone's just keeping them on the books just in case they have to, the economy does take a turn for the worse. Looking at quarter-on-quarter revenue for Bank of America here, in the first quarter, it posted $22.6 billion in revenue. It's only $100 million down from that quarter. And from a year ago, in the second quarter of 2019, Bank of America posted $23 billion in revenue that year. So down about $1 billion there. But you can then see how much the bond trading and the equities really helped in that regard.
Yeah, it's the same for Morgan Stanley, right? I think, and they run one of the biggest stock trading business in the world.
Yeah, so for Morgan Stanley, equities trading also posted a 23% increase in revenue to $2.6 billion. I think we saw the same with Goldman Sachs when they announced their earnings as well, which came out our time yesterday. And if we look at another name here as well, Charles Schwab, their revenue fell short of expectations at $2.45 billion. So that's down nearly 9% from the same period last year. Their net income for the second quarter was $937 million. Net interest revenue fell 14%, but their trading revenue declined 7%. So total client assets increased to $4.11 trillion. So that was an increase of 11%.
Yeah, interesting that their revenue fell short of expectations. Perhaps expectations were too high. So anyway, they are seeing some significant progress on its acquisition of TD Ameritrade, pending, of course, an antitrust review.
Yeah, because that's the trading platforms consolidating there, right? They bought, they made that merger or the offer last year, or was it earlier this year? Sorry, the years seem to be blending together at this point. But they do say the deal is on track to be closed by the end of the year. Now, quickly, let's take a look at Netflix, because these results also came out a few hours ago. Revenues came in at $6.15 billion versus estimates of just above $6 billion, $6.08 billion, and it posted a net income of $720 million.
Yeah, so It added 10.09 million paid subscribers in the last quarter. So they beat their own forecast of 7.5 million. But their guidance for Q3 was 6.33 billion. So that was below the estimate of 6.4. And they also only expect 2.5 million net subscriber additions in Q3, versus the which is only like half of Wall Street's estimate of 5.25 million.
Yes, I think as you know, more economies open, reopen, so I guess maybe people would actually be working really proper. So, you know, less Netflix consumption going forward in the next half of the year.
All right, I've got some Netflix numbers in front of me. Just take a look, taking a look at comparative numbers here. Same time last year, Netflix posted $4.9 billion in revenue. Quick math there, that's 24% on-year growth in terms of revenue. But on an on-quarter basis, in the first quarter of 2020, Netflix posted $5.8 billion in revenue. That's 5% up on an on-quarter basis to the $6.1 billion they posted this year. And streaming is their biggest business. That's about $20 billion of the revenue for 2019.
All right, and now we're heading into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Izana Azuddin, founder of the MYER movement, on Malaysia's millennial and Gen Z outlook for the future. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.